God has given me a burden for this morning, and the title of my message this morning, Service, No Excuse for Not Serving the Lord. And my message will be aimed mainly at Christians. Service, no excuse for not serving the Lord. All Christians have spiritual gifts that have been given from God Himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 reads like this: Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Further down that same chapter and verse 11, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He gives them to each man just as He determines. So all Christians have spiritual gifts that have been given from God. We all know that all Christians have natural talents and abilities. You have natural talents and abilities, and so do I. And you don't need me to remind you that all of us all have limitations. None of us is perfect in any area. We all have limitations and shortcomings. So we all have spiritual gifts, we all have natural talents and abilities, and we all have limitations. Now, if we are to obtain the Lord's best in our lives, we must learn how to use our talents and our gifts, and we must learn to overcome or live with our limitations, as the case may be. Please note that spiritual gifts are given for the expansion or the benefit of the church. A basic principle: service for Christ is valued according to talent given. The more gifts or talents, the greater the responsibility one has. If you are a person who has many talents and abilities and a number of gifts, you have a very great responsibility before the Lord. But having said that, all of us have a responsibility before the Lord in this area. Service for Christ is valued according to talent given. And this is a principle for all stewardship, whether of talent or possessions. The Lord demands that His servants be profitable. God demands that we be profitable in our service for Him. Will you open your Bible with me, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to commence reading at verse 14. Just before I commence reading, I want to draw your attention to the fact that the context is the kingdom of heaven. Because as we read in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto such and such. And also in verse 14, where I'm going to commence reading. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made 5 other talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not spread. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful or lazy servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not spread. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This was told by Jesus himself. Notice in verse 15 it says, according to his ability. A major requirement in a steward or a manager is that he be found faithful. You see, in this world, man values cleverness, man values success, and man values wealth. But God is looking for those who will be faithful to Christ in all things. Those who will be faithful to Christ regardless of the circumstances. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 reads like this. It is required in stewards or managers that a man be found faithful. And this is what God is saying to each one of us this morning. In all things, we must be faithful. Notice from our story, the servant with 2 talents received the same commendation as the servant with 5 talents. They both reproduced 100%. Service for Christ is valued according to talents given. Just because one produced 5 talents from what he had and the other 2 from what he had, the one who produced 5 didn't get a greater commendation. They both received the same commendation. They were both faithful in serving the Lord in what God had given them to do and in what God had placed in their hands. The key is how I use that which God has given me. Whether it be natural talents and abilities or whether it be spiritual gifts. Remember, it all belongs to God. As far as this world is concerned, my possessions belong to me. But as far as God is concerned, everything belongs to Him. And we are just managers. We are just stewards, using that which God has placed in our hands. At camps at Paolba, there was a chorus we used to sing. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, etc. I haven't heard it sung for a long time. It all belongs to God. How am I using that which God has placed in my hands? All Christians will one day sit before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Soon after we are taken home to heaven, every single Christian will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, sometimes known as the Bema, a Greek word, B-E-M-A. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ," and I emphasise all, "that everyone may receive the things done on his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Romans 14 verse 10b, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The subject is certainly not our sin, because our sin has been forgiven and it will be remembered no more forever. God not only has the ability to forgive, but he also forgets. So the subject at the judgment seat of Christ is certainly not our sin. Hebrews 10 verse 17 reads, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, says God." Psalm 103 verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us." So the subject at the judgment seat of Christ is not our sin, but Christ is going to judge our works. That which we have done or not done since we became Christians. Matthew 12 verse 36 says this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment." Every idle word. That which we have done or haven't done and should have done for the Lord will come under judgment. Every one of us. Regardless of how mature or immature we may be in our Christian lives. I'd like to read some more verses. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." The result of the judgment seat of Christ is reward or a loss of reward. Reward or loss of reward. I'd like to read some more verses from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or visible. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built upon it, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire." Will I be one of those who will be saved yet as by fire. Our salvation certainly isn't in question, because once we are saved forever. But the thing before us this morning is our work, that which we are willing to allow God to do in us and through us. As Christians, when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, will we receive this commendation? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's something that you can continue to think upon as we continue with our message this morning. Will it be, well done, good and faithful servant, as we have recorded in Matthew chapter 25? Something particularly for the young people. Three rules for using our gifts, our spiritual gifts, for God. Number one, discover them. Ask God to show you. It is a tragedy that some people who have been Christians for many years still don't know their gift or gifts. They still don't know where they fit in. And that's a tragedy. Some trial and error may be necessary. One apparent failure doesn't necessarily mean that you have no gift in that area. But after consistent failure, well, maybe the Lord is showing you that your gift is in another area. So there may be some trial and error. Godly Christians, mature Christians, and elders can help. Quite often other people can see things in us that we can't see in ourselves. And this is where mature godly Christians have a real part to play in helping particularly young Christians see where their gift or gifts lie. Discover them. Whatever you do, don't give up the search and say, oh, I can't find it. It may take years. Remember, we all have at least one spiritual gift which we are to use for God. After discovering them, develop them. Practice. Even natural ability needs plenty of exercising. A person may have plenty of natural ability when it comes to singing, but that person will never get very far if that person doesn't practice. Simply discovering a gift isn't enough. It must be used and it must be worked at. Paul instructed Timothy to neglect not thy gift. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Don't neglect your gift. That's what Paul said to Timothy on one hand. And on the other hand, he said, stir up your gift. Use it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Unused gifts will mean loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And how sad that will be. Discover them, develop them, and certainly dedicate them. Gifts plus the power of the Holy Spirit equals results. Has the Lord touched our hearts? The Lord wants us to say, as we have in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, here am I, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, I believe you've given me a gift in this area. I'm willing to use it. I'm willing to do my best. This is what God desires of each and every Christian. And as the Bible tells us, it's only fair and reasonable that God should expect this from us. Remember, we have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. We belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. We're not a law unto ourselves. Some Christians might like to think that they are, but they're not. We are owned by God. Our person is owned by God. All our possessions, as I've already mentioned, are owned by God. How am I shaping up in God's service? So particularly for the younger people, discover your gifts, develop them, and dedicate them. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, and as you well know, we all have limitations. Three rules for dealing with our limitations. Number one, pray about them. Are they within our control, or are they totally beyond our control? For those that are within our control, we need to ask, is it because of sin in my life? Am I failing or am I being ineffective because there's unconfessed sin in my life? Or am I doing something in an ineffective way? Maybe I'm trying to do something in a fairly senseless sort of fashion. Maybe there's a much more sensible attitude. Maybe there's a much more sensible way to go. Am I doing something in an ineffective way? The Lord can certainly pinpoint and help to eradicate problems if we are willing to allow Him to do so. Also, pray about our limitations if they are beyond our control. Maybe the Lord will take them away. Maybe He won't. I'd like to read some more verses from the book of Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. This little passage deals with what we often refer to as Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And God said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We don't know the exact nature of Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some suggest, because of writings in other places, that it may have been an eye problem. But we don't know. Three times, Paul asked God to take it away. And God said, "No. My grace is sufficient for you." Maybe the Lord will take away the limitation. Maybe He won't. It's totally in His hands. Pray about them. And secondly, praise God for them. That is, the limitations that are beyond our control. If the Lord isn't willing to take away our limitations, we should praise Him for them and look for His purpose in them. Because there will be a reason. There will be a purpose. The Lord may plan to humble us to make us more usable. Our weakness is the occasion for the display of the Lord's strength. Pray about them the limitations that are beyond our control, we are to praise God for them, because He's allowed it to happen for a reason. Number three, profit from them. Once again, the limitations that are beyond our control. If the Lord isn't willing to remove our limitations, then there must be some profit for us as well as for other people. For example, one of the Roman emperors banished the Apostle John to the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. And John could have easily taken the attitude, well, this is it, how can I serve the Lord here? I'm finished. I can't do any more. I've been banished to this lonely island. However, it was here that John received the words of the book of Revelation on that lonely island. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. It was profit for John in his being banished to that island, but certainly a much more profit for countless millions down through the years since then. Rules for dealing with our limitations: pray about them, praise God for them, and profit from them. Something we need to keep in mind in our service for the Lord is to avoid false modesty. Don't say you can't do something when you know that you can do it. This is very offensive to God. If you go back to the early chapters of the book of Exodus, God had spent a long time preparing Moses for Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then when God called Moses to go, Moses said, I don't want to go, I can't do it. And God had spent many, many years preparing Moses for this task. As you read through that story, I think it's about chapter 4, you read where God even became angry with Moses. And the end result, well, one of Moses' objections was that he said, I can't talk. So in the end, God said, well, I'll send Aaron. And Aaron became the spokesperson. It is very, very offensive to say to God, I can't do it, when God has been spending a long time preparing you for a specific task. God isn't going to call you or I into His service in a specific area if He hasn't first prepared us. If God is calling us to a specific work, we can be absolutely certain that God has prepared us for that. There would have been many hard bumps crossed in getting us to that point where we are suited to take on a specific work for God. Avoid false modesty. It's easy to come up with all sorts of excuses, but God isn't interested in excuses. God is interested in us using that which He has placed in our hands. And God will hold us accountable. All talent is for God and should be placed in His hands each day. All of us need to say, Lord, use me, whatever the cost may be. May this be our attitude as we go into a new year. Lord, use me, whatever the cost may be. And God will certainly do so, because little is much in His hands. You see, so often the things that we think are relatively unimportant are very important with God. Little is much in God's hands. It is obviously true that the ablest people should be the most useful for God. However, none of us should despise ability by not using it or the lack of it. All should try to use that which has been given to us by God. Remember, as we've already stated, it all belongs to Him. Gifts, natural talents and abilities, all our possessions, it all belongs to Him. An able man who just coasts along on natural ability will possibly lose much reward. If you look at Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel was a very talented, a very gifted man. His life was totally committed to the Lord, who was able to use Daniel in a great way. And as a result, much glory was brought to the Lord. And this should be our aim too. As we face a new year, in God's will, where will I stand in relation to my service for the Lord? Service in this assembly, service in combined assembly activities, service wherever the Lord provides opportunities. Remember, we are going to give an account one day to the Lord. And even though we will all be there, it appears as we read through the scripture that it will be a very much individual affair. As I understand things and as I read my Bible, it won't be too much about my being concerned with what brother or sister so-and-so has or hasn't done. The main concern will be with what I have done or haven't done. So as we go into a new year, may we be really encouraged to serve the Lord faithfully. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.